Commissioner Christina Nomdu was appointed as the Western Cape Commissioner for Children on the 1st of June 2020. Her mandate is to promote and protect the rights, needs and interests of children in the province. The Commissioner is an oversight mechanism for the Department of Education, Health, Social Development and as well as Cultural Affairs and Sport. Yo, that's a mouthful. Christina has worked professionally for over 30 years on issues affecting children's rights. She's also no stranger at RX Radio, and I have fortunately had the opportunity of speaking to her before. So welcome back, Christina. How are you doing today?
Good day, everyone. I'm doing very well, and I hope everyone is keeping safe and healthy. It's great to be back on RX Radio.
Once again, for those that don't know, what exactly is the Children's Commissioner?
I was appointed as the first ever Children's Commissioner in the history of our country. That means there's a law that creates my office. And that means also that I am someone that has to watch whether the government is respecting and fulfilling children's rights. In particular, I work with the departments of education, health, social development, sport and culture. And I collect information, so I can collect information by doing an investigation, or I can just watch the way they're doing things, that's monitoring, or I can start a special research project to find out how they are doing their work to fulfill children's rights.
We have many young listeners, and if you had to explain the right to be understood and to be taken seriously to some of the younger listeners, what would you say?
I always explain children's rights as the three P's. The right to provision of services, especially from government, and from parents too. You know, parents are the first duty bearers of children's rights. They must take care of children and make sure they are safe and happy and healthy. But government must provide things like schools and clinics to make sure children can always be well and be successful and have their needs met. For example, if children lose their parents, the Department of Social Development must step in to take care of children. The second P of children's rights is protection rights. So it's protection from harm. So people cannot make children work hard and, for example, in mines or in, they call that exploitative labor. It's not right to make children do jobs that are too hard for them to do. And it's also not right to hurt children. So we call that protection rights. So protection from harm. The third P of children's rights is about participation rights. So children have the right to participate in all decisions affecting their lives. Now, this may sound very complicated and almost impossible because we know that actually adults don't really listen well to children. They never ask them their views and opinions. They seldom ask children how they are feeling about a decision that will affect them. And, you know, children most of the time are quite surprised to hear me say that they have the right to their own opinions, beliefs, feelings, and they have the right to express these. So, you know, we struggle, I think, in our society with children's participation rights.
What is your role as the Children's Commissioner with regards to the right?
So if we have to test whether adults take children's participation rights seriously, we would look at whether they always ask children how they are feeling about a particular choice that needs to be made that affects the child. For example, moving to a new house, moving to a new school, that definitely affects a child. So are parents talking to children about how they feel about moving school? And are parents telling children why they believe that a school should be changed or is not good for their child? That's when we know that parents are listening, when they are pausing to talk to their child about these decisions, when they explain to their child that they've heard what the child has said, and perhaps then the decision could mean, okay, you don't go this year, but maybe you need to go next year because it's a new phase of schooling and we think that the school is better for you, it suits your talents more. So when a child is able to affect the decision of an adult, and that decision relates directly to the child's life, then we can say that the voice of the child counts. So I have in my office this hashtag, little voices must count, because I believe that we need lots and lots more practice in helping adults to understand, to listen to engage with children.
What is the province doing to listen to the voices of children and to take them seriously?
I think we are having some successes in having adults listen to the voices of children, because in the way I work, I always consult with children. So I constantly have a group of child advisors who give me guidance about my work. They also give government departments that I work with advice. That's why I call them sometimes child government monitors. And so when I'm engaging the government departments and I'm playing the voices of children, or I'm telling them the exact quotes of what children told me, and they answer to those questions that children bring to them, then I know that we're making a bit of a shift, because now we have adults willing to listen to children. And more recently, some of the meetings that I attend with government officials also includes children at the invitation of the government department, which means that they are starting to change their practice to know that they cannot talk about children's rights, especially not with the children's commissioner, if they haven't spoken to children first.
What can children do if they feel like this right is not being respected by an adult?
We are all hopefully working very, very hard in our country to create a human rights culture, which for me means a culture of mutual respect. Nobody is more important or less important as a person. We are all equal as people and deserve the same dignity rights. We are inherently worthy. And so I think that even though we are working hard on a human rights culture, there are many examples where children will experience that their rights are being violated. Now, this is also the same for adults. Many adults in our country feel as if their rights are being violated. So we are not yet at the point where we can say that we have fully embraced and fully practicing and fully realizing the human rights of all people, including children. And so if you have a rights violation that you want to report, for example, you are experiencing abuse at home as a child, we always encourage you to seek help. You know, go to a trusted adult at school or another place where you know that this is really a trusted adult, and share your concern with them if you do not have the ability to contact a helpline yourself. We know that Childline works as a helpline directly with children, and it's a toll-free number, 08000 55555. So 08000 55555. And they've also shortened the number now. So it's important that children who have the means and don't feel they have a trusted adult that can help them to seek help, then you contact Childline for that type of assistance. Many organizations work in partnership with each other. So if you contact a helpline, they will perhaps tell you, we are not the person for your particular concern, but you can contact this organization or this person within government, and they are supposed to address the rights violation that you are experiencing.
If someone's listening and wants to know more about their rights in general, where can they go?
As a children's commissioner, it is not my job to work on particular cases of rights violations first, because we have government departments that are supposed to address and provide the means for rights. So we have the Department of Education and Health that must provide services, and we have the Department of Social Development that must provide protection services. So I first look to those departments to step in when a rights violation occurs with a particular child. Where I get involved is when I can see there's a pattern of rights violations that affects several children, and the government department is not coping with this support to the children. They haven't worked out a good system to help the children, and they seem to be stuck. They seem to need help to change their system of working with children. That's where I try to come in, and I try to work with them to see, why is your system not functioning well for children? So I am not the first port of call when you are experiencing a rights violation as a child. You must always feel free to contact our helplines and also the police service.
Thank you so much for your amazing insight, Christine. Is there anything else that you would like to say?
In closing, I think I just want to say that I'm very encouraged by already the changes that I've seen, how receptive, how well children are received in new spaces. In National Parliament, for example, are going to have a special session for children that will be closed so that children are protected for the new Children's Act that will be passed soon. And government departments are starting to listen to children and include children in their planning and in their policy making. And I really do think that parents also feel confident now that they really need to play that primary role in their children's lives, and they need to be the first child rights champions. That is always my first message when I go to communities, that parents are our first child rights champion. The Children's Commissioner is here to listen to children when nobody else will.
Thank you so much, Christina, for joining us today, and thanks for the amazing work that you do. I hope everyone took some notes and will take time to read up more on this right.